Okay, today's November 20th, 2007. Okay, this will be the third and final Be'ez Hashem class, shiur, on the halachas of Amir al-Akum. And we finally get to the heterim, the instances where it's permissible to directly tell a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos. Most of what we discussed till now, the areas where you cannot. We discussed certain areas where you, if they do it on their own, you can benefit from them. We discussed the ways of hinting in situations where you can hint, and in a case where it's not considered a direct benefit, it's only an indirect benefit or an additional benefit, that you can then hint in the proper way to a non-Jew in cases of need. We'll now discuss two different cases where it will be permissible to have a non-Jew do things for you for Shabbos. One of them is Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is twilight, is the time between Shkia, sunset, and Tseis HaKochavim, which is nightfall. For our purposes, Shkia is the same for everyone. Shkia is sunset. And that's on the calendar. It's usually, in terms of Friday, it's 18 minutes before candlelighting. So that's Shkia. From that point on, after Shkia, I'm sorry, it's 18 minutes after candlelighting. From that point on, one cannot do any malacha at all. We actually discussed previously the idea of Tosefes Shabbos. One has to add on to Shabbos. The minimum amount is just any amount, but we said Rav Moshe Feinstein held 2 minutes. So for practical purposes, let's say a minute or two before sunset, one cannot do any malacha by themselves. So once
Shkia or sunset?
Shkia is sunset. Shkia is sunset. Okay? So what? When is sunset this coming Friday? Approximately?
4:20.
Okay, let's say 4:30 for argument's sake. 4:30 is going to be Shkia this Friday. So by 4:28, 4:29, nobody could do any malacha anymore. Even the men in the house who have not lit candles, or the children of the house who can do malacha even after the woman in the house lights, they can still do malacha for those 16 minutes, 17 minutes. But after that point, no one can do malacha anymore. So by 4:29, all malacha has to be stopped by Jews. 4:35 comes and you realize, oi, I forgot to shut off the oven. Oi, I forgot to put on the light in the bathroom for the guest. Or, oi, I forgot to turn off the air conditioner, turn on the air conditioner. Things that are going to be needed for Shabbos. So we'll see there's actually four categories where one can tell a non-Jew to do something. We'll see if we'll get to as many as we can. For what you can tell a non-Jew to do during Bein Hashmashos. Now, how long does Bein Hashmashos extend? How long does it extend for? So the truth is, we said it extends really until Tseis HaKochavim, until nightfall. But that's a little bit arbitrary because certain people keep different times for Tseis HaKochavim. For example, when does Shabbos end? Okay, on the 11th Shul calendar. Shabbat ends this time, right? Or Shabbos is out this time. Now, we have various opinions according to when Shabbos ends. Some are hold that 45 minutes after sunset, Shabbos is over. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that Tseis HaKochavim in our parts of the world are 50 minutes after sunset. There are those, many places in New York, figure it's 60 minutes after. We've all heard of the Zman of 72 minutes, that's Rabbeinu Tam, that's 72 minutes after Shkia. And there are those who hold even more than that. There's a sheet of 90 minutes, 96 minutes after.
96?
72 is not the maximum.
Why is there such a discrepancy?
It's Mishnah.
It's very... It's a very complicated subject, and it's all based on the two conflicting gemaras of how long the period of Bein Hashmashos is. And really, the gemara says there are actually two shkias. So if you want to be even more confusing, actually there are two Shkias. There's the Shkia as we know it, let's say 4:30, and this Friday we'll assume. And then 4 mil later, a mil is the distance of time it takes to walk. Now if you hold a mil is 18 minutes, so 4 times 18 is 72. So that's where you get 72. Okay? But there's also a shear of 3/4 of a mil. And 3/4 of a mil will be 13 and a half minutes. So that's why the Vilna Gaon held, for instance, that 4:30 is Shkia sunset, and 3/4 of a mil later is already Tzeitzah Kochavim, 13 and a half minutes later. Rav Rabbeinu Tam held that the first Shkia starts at 4:30, but for practical purposes, let's say Filcha Shabbos, it actually starts 58 and a half minutes later and ends 13 and a half minutes later, which is 72 minutes.
So how the basis start of why this one kept that, or that just conceptually, why did this one keep that and that one keep
well,
that?
Well, no, so this is already a difference of opinion between the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Tam and the Rishonim where it starts and when you start it and when it ends.
Okay.
And then if you hold the mill, it's not 18 minutes, but you hold it's 22 minutes. So you then you have 4 times 22. Or if you hold this 24 minutes, it's 4 times 24. And that's where you get the 90 or the 96 minutes. So now that everybody...
What was the definition of that check?
A mil is the amount of time it takes to walk a certain amount of space. A mil, let's say, is like a mile. How long does it take to walk a mile? It's not exactly a mile, but how long does it take the average person to walk? So the opinions hold it's 18 minutes. So there'll be 4 times 18. If you hold it's 22, it's 4 times 22. Okay? But that is why you will have, let's say, the Hasidim who hold that, like Rabbeinu Tam, both Lekula and Lechumra, for all purposes, both the lenient side and the more strict side, they will say that Shkia actually first starts not at our sunset, which is 4:30. Sunset is 4:30, yes, but that's not when Shkia is. They will hold Shkia actually starts 58 and a half minutes later. And extends for the next 13 and a half minutes till 72 minutes. And it was known that the Satmar Rav, when he came to America, used to be seen driving in a car 45 minutes, 50 minutes after Shkia. Until he was asked, the story was that he was asked by Rav Aaron Cutler that he curtailed to do public activities which looked like a desecration of the Shabbos, not to confuse people. Indeed, in Samar, when everybody held that way, so everybody held that way, going into Shabbos and going out of Shabbos. It's the same. But here in America, since there are so many different opinions and many held that when Shkia comes, that's when Malacha has to be stopped. So he, from that point on, did not do Malacha publicly. But that's where you have the various times. Now, the reason why we mention this is, again, because when we're dealing with Amir La'akum, who does the guy have to hold like? Does he have to hold like the Satmars, or does he, or rather, could he hold like the Rabbeinu Tam Shita that is later? And actually, we do use that because there is a doubt in halacha. Maybe the halacha follows Rabbeinu Tam, and as maybe this Shkia doesn't force me to stop doing malacha at 4:30, and maybe I do have an extra amount of time. So to make it less confusing, Ramesh Feinstein writes that in terms of Amir La'akum, what I can tell a guy to do within that Bein Hashmashes period, within the time from after sunset, after Shkia, until Tzeitzah Kochavim, which is certainly with his nightfall, he says you have, in one place he writes 30 minutes, another place 40 minutes after Shkia, where you can directly ask a non-Jew to do something in the cases that we will explain where it is permissible. Okay, so that's clear that during Bein Hashmashos, which means after you lit candles already and Shkia has already arrived, you can't do any more malacha. Nobody in the house, no Jew in the house can do malacha anymore. However, to tell a non-Jew to do something will be permissible for the next 30 minutes or in case of need for the next 40 minutes.
That's with anything, or does it have to be certain?
Right, so it has to be things that are necessary for Shabbos. Tzorchei Shabbos. It has to be that it's necessary for Shabbos. Okay? In other words, you can't have a non-Jew. You want to finish the crossword puzzle that you started on Erev Shabbos, and you forgot to write in the clue. You can't tell the non-Jewish help, oh, please just fill it in so I'll just know that it's off my head. That you can't do. Okay?
That would be in somebody's head.
But you have to, let's say, turn on the stove for Shabbos. Turn on the oven for Shabbos. Okay, or turn it off. You have to turn on a light in a bedroom that's or a bathroom that's going to be needed for Shabbos. You have to turn off a light that room's going to be needed for Shabbos.
And how direct can you be?
As direct as you want. Since it's Ben Hashmasha, so since it's a Suffolk period, it's a period of doubt in Halacha whether it's really actually Shabbos or not, so we have to be strict and consider it Shabbos. But the Goy does not have to be. In other words, therefore, we're allowed to tell the Goy in this doubtful period, in this Suffolk period, we're allowed to tell a Goy to even do Malachas to Oraisa. You can even turn on a light. You can even light a stove. You can even plug in the urn, which we forgot to do and you need it for Shabbos. So, turn on an air conditioner, turn off an ignition. Anything that's going to be for the comfort of Shabbos is going to be permissible. You're allowed to have them run out to the store and buy soda for Shabbos. Or you realize you can have a lot of guests, you need ice. You could have them run out to the store and buy ice.
Can you tell them, I'll pay you to do it? Like let's take the soda example, and let's say you don't have a koi that's just there to do at your beck and call.
Okay.
So can you just say, I'll pay you $20, you know, on Saturday night if you can run to the store. Like, you can hire him, quote unquote.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, you can do that.
And then, sorry, one more thing. Also, is it l'chad chila? Like, can you know, let's say Shabbos is starting at 4:30, candle lighting's at 4:30, and it's 4:25, and you see that you still have like a lot of lights and you could really use your 18 minutes, but you want to light on time, can you have in mind, oh, I'll just ask my neighbor to do the rest?
No, it's better you take care of everything that you have to before Shabbos. Right. You should not l'chatchila just allow the everything to wait till then and then have the guy do it.
So is it better to run around and do all your things and you're into your 18 minutes? Like, it is better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regarding asking an adios, let's say it's the go to the store example, and you're during Ben Hashmashos.
Yeah, Ben Hashmashos.
But it's towards the end of that period, and you realize, oh no, but it's going to take, you're directly asking during that time, but it doesn't matter if it's already into Shabbos when the goy goes out to do this, does it?
No. He has to do it within the Ben Hashmashos. The malacha that he's doing for you, so we're telling him directly. We're asking, please go to the store and buy a case of seltzer. He's now doing work for me. So as long as, so I've said it in a time which is a suffix, it's a Ben Hashmashos, and he's doing that work for me during Ben Hashmashos, so I could benefit from that. So if he says, okay, I'll do it, but he does it an hour into Shabbos, so I had no problem with telling him. The problem is he then did malacha for me on Shabbos, which I can't benefit from. As if he would go out to the store by himself on Shabbos. I can't benefit from that malacha. So it has to be done within that time period.
But he left in time and there was a long line at the store.
That won't matter.
So if he comes back after that time, then it's not good. So he has to return
exceptions
with what he purchased during the same time.
No, again, if you want to get technical, what malacha did he do? The malacha was buying it. So as long as he bought it within that time, then the malacha that he did for me was buying it. Now, to schlep it back to my house, I could schlep it myself to my house. So he drove in a car because he didn't want to carry it on his bike, or he didn't want to carry it on his shoulder. That's he did for himself.
Inside and outside an Eruv?
Yeah, that...
So if he goes to the Acme by car, he has to get back inside the Eruv.
Right, but she's talking about, let's say he has to travel through a place that didn't have an Erev. Yeah, that's actually a different thing. That, even if a Jew would bring me something that was done by carrying, that's a different halacha, whether I can benefit from that halacha. When you're dealing with Hotzah, where nothing creative was done, you're allowed to benefit from that.
I just ask a little bit off the subject, but on the subject in terms of if a goy does something for you, fine, if he's doing it during 18 minutes. Let's say you have non-Shomer Shabbos guests who show up on Shabbos and they bring something for your Shabbos table.
Flowers.
No, let's not even say flowers. Let's say, but you don't know when they bought it. But they insist that it's out there, and it's completely kosher and whatever, and they say, oh, by the way, they pull it off of your counter, and they stick it on. They're doing it for themselves, if I remember. Like, they want that on the table, so it's not like they're giving a gift to me.
Yeah.
But we don't know when they bought this, and we can assume, since they drove over in the car on Shabbos to have Suda with us, even though they, you know, were within that limit where they could walk, we don't know about when they purchased this item.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this case last week for Ramesha. If a non-religious Jew would do malacha for intentionally for me or any other Jew, then you should not benefit from that malacha. Right. If they do so, yeah.
But if they arrived within the 30 minutes after with this kosher cake, so we can use it if it's within that time.
But they might have bought it during that time.
Well, no, it's within that time. How long can they...
They're Jewish.
They've got 18 minutes,
Jewish.
Right?
That 30, 40 minutes doesn't apply to them at all.
Doesn't apply to them for doing malacha. Right. Once sunset comes, once Shia comes, a Jew can't do malacha. Right.
Which means if they arrive after...
Now, the truth is, since this is a Suffolk time, so anything that is a Suffolk, you can benefit from the malacha in that case.
You could use the cake Friday night.
You wouldn't be able to use the cake. You're not allowed to do it if the secular Jew calls up and says, listen, I'll be there in a half hour. I'm just stopping by to buy a cake. Is that all right? You say, no, don't do that. I can't stand a cake from that store. Oh, I'm going to another store. No, don't buy. Right. Then you have to tell them, don't buy anything.
Please don't bring the cakes.
Okay, but...
I got too many cakes.
You know, but I don't understand the reasoning to invite... I've always thought that I should not invite non-religious Jews who are going to ride.
That's a whole other issue. And let's assume we were talking about an example where you invited them to come before Shabbos, and then they figured they just had more time, so they took their leisurely time, and they came late. Yeah.
Or you offer to put
but
them
then
on,
they're going
to
drop
you.
Yeah.
They're not going to stay. You offer them to stay. Yeah.
You just can't use anything they bring.
Yeah, that's complicated.
Huh? You can't
benefit from if they had done something after Shkia. If they had bought something for you after Shkia, they can't benefit from it.
What if they arrived with it after?
No, again, arrived from it, then all they did, that's what we mentioned before. If the malacha that was done, even by a Jew, was only, let's say, carrying from one domain to another and carrying without an Erev, that you can benefit from.
Or even with an Erev, they bought it in the morning, but they arrived...
If they arrived afterwards, you can benefit from it. They bought you wine, right? They brought wine, and they brought it with them from outside the Erev. They brought it for them, and they drove with that in the car. You can benefit from that.
I mean, is it implied to say, though, but why did you buy this?
It's easier to say, you know, I have everything planned for this Shabbos, can I put it away for next week?
Oh, I always...
So you just...
Yes.
Yeah, but then you still wouldn't be able to... Would you be able to use it the following Shabbos?
The following Shabbos, you wouldn't be able
to.
Anything that was done for you for Shabbos, let's say by a Jew or a non-Jew, which you can't use on Shabbos, you have to just wait the time it would take to do that malacha or to buy that item, and then you can use it. So really, you could use it for Malava Malka, probably, on Matzah Shabbos.
Oh, interesting.
Because by that time, you have an hour, how long will it take to buy that yourself? That's called B'chadesh Yasu, the time it takes to do that. So getting back to these cases of what you can directly tell a non-Jew to do for you for Shabbos purposes during Bein HaShemashes is another example we have spoken in the past. There was a woman forgot to light candles. And now it's Shkia, it's sunset. You can't light candles anymore. But you're going to have a non-Jew light the candles.
Okay. You say the bracha?
No, in that case, we ask you don't make the bracha. Since you don't do the actual lighting, you don't make the bracha. Yes, it is a makor.
Do you have to light more candles after that?
No, if you had it, as long as you had it, as you had your candles for Shabbos, you're sort of saved from that.
So they can ignite the candles.
Right.
Can you enjoy their light?
Yeah. Yeah, again, because it's a Bein HaShemashes. It's just like they put on the light or they put on the air conditioner or anything like that. Let's say you have cooked food. You have a kugel that was cooked, but you forgot to put it in the oven during Bein HaShemashes. You can have the non-Jew put it into the oven. It's not a question of Bishul Akam over here for having it from a guy's cooking because it was already cooked food. So you could have them do that if you needed that for Shabbos.
Oh, so then you can't, if you forgot to put the Tillin pot on, which is not cooked,
It's not cooked.
They can't do that.
In terms of Ben Hashmashos, you have no problem. You could have them do it because of a Shabbos issue, but then you can't eat the food because it's Bishalakim. Mm-hmm. Right.
You've got a trace crock pot.
Yeah, and then, right, and then your crock pot also will be problematic because it's absorbed now with sort of like Isser that was cooked.
Really?
Oh, my.
You can't turn on.
Yeah.
You can't turn off. No, I know I can't turn off food.
Right.
So, why would the pot
with even the pot becomes a quote unquote tray. Yeah.
I don't let anyone in my kitchen. I don't.
Okay.
My Haredi son-in-law has traced more pots. Oh, you may. It cost me a fortune. Oh, Ima, I thought this was not good.
Okay. Another category is, even if it's not for the necessity of Shabbos, but if there's something that will cause you great aggravation. Considerable aggravation will also be permissible to have a non-Jew alleviate this aggravation and take care of the situation that has to be taken care of. For example, if there will be a loss of money, you come right before Shabbos, you park your car somewhere, you go inside the house, and you realize a few minutes later, it's already after Shki, you realize, oh, you forgot to lock the car doors. You're not in a safe neighborhood. Someone may steal the car. Someone may steal something from the car. You can ask a non-Jew to lock the doors.
Or what if there's no parking there on Saturday? It's not, you realize the sign.
Well, there's no parking on Saturdays, and you could actually even ask him in that case to move the car.
I have a question on that. Now, this would be after the Ben Hashmoshes. You have to go to the hospital. You drive somebody to yourself or whatever, your husband, to the hospital. All right? You can't shut off the car.
And there's no valet parking on the weekend.
That's a good blanket.
Right.
This is on Shabbos, you mean?
Yeah. On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. Let's say on Shabbos, a person, right. It's always best
so it's Spanish that... Did you ask him? Ask him?
We call a cab. We'll give him the number 613.
No, I'm just saying, let's stick to the...
This case, if you... You have
you
to drive on Shabbos.
And
there's no guy available to drive you. You drive to Shabbos. You now arrive at the hospital or the emergency door, and you get out of the car. Can you turn off the ignition? No. This does not necessary for the chola, for the person who's sick, to get to the hospital, right? Truth is, you should not be able to step on the brake at all from here to the hospital because that's not necessary. You just have to, okay. You're allowed to do that because it's not going to
fudge.
It's right. Okay.
The car door open too, though, if you've got the light on.
That's right. So you have to get out of the car. Right.
You have to open the door.
Well, if you have to open the door to get the sick person out, you're allowed to do that. So really what you have to do is then go into the hospital and explain that I am a religious Jew, an Orthodox Jew. I cannot shut off my car or close the door, and it's sitting outside. And usually the nursing staff will understand, and they'll take care of it.
Hopefully and if you can get it off with your car.
But the trick is to get into the hospital without activating the automatic doors. You know, they have the...
Yes, they have the automatic... Again, but if it's for the purpose of the chola, in case of an emergency, you're allowed to do that.
Doors, you can't, because you have to take the person inside.
To get in, right?
Is it somebody?
Not an automatic doors?
Yeah, even if it's automatic.
Well, if you have to bring in the patient. Okay.
If you're with the patient.
So that's what he said. Let's say, for instance, you have to have your car doors locked, or your car moved, or your car put into the garage, like someone said. Or let's say to put an alarm on. You forgot to set the alarm on your house and you're away. You forgot to set the alarm on your store and you're away. You could ask a non-Jew during Ben Hashmoshes to do that. The post can bring, even in a case, let's say a person has yahrzeit Friday night and Shabbos, and they forgot, they're so busy they forgot to light a yahrzeit candle. Is it for the purpose of Shabbos? No, you don't need it for Shabbos, but since it's to alleviate one's feelings of having the yahrzeit candle there, that's considered that to take away the emotional stress of the person, and that also be permissible to have a go.
So if there's no non-Jew around, can you light it the next night? The candle. If there's nobody to light it for you.
If you mean the night of the yahrzeit, you forgot to light, or you can't light the yahrzeit
right,
candle.
And there's nobody there to help
oh,
you.
Oh, should you light it the next night?
It's not the yahrzeit.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know if you should light it after that.
I gave him without a sock. Huh? I did once, but without a facade.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with lighting it. The candle is relates to a neshama. You can do it, certainly, absolutely. There's no bracha, but you can do certainly
no
do it.
No, but I mean, with the intent that I really would miss not doing it because I forgot.
Right.
I didn't have to do it in time.
Exactly. Right. So you certainly can do it, yeah.
Alleviating your own stress.
Yeah. You certainly can do it. Not on Shabbos, after Shabbos, right.
I was traveling when I had a yurt once. And you
don't say it. Sorry. Okay, so this is a very important halakha to know. Now that we know about the time period of Bein HaShemashos and you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to directly do something for you on Shabbos, the next halakha, the next case is, the next example is very important, crucial to know before you ever get into the situation. Hopefully you should never get into this situation. And one driving on Erev Shabbos should always leave ample time to get to where they have to, realize there's traffic, realize where you're traveling, and what time of year you're traveling. You must leave enough time. Usually they say you should double the amount of time it takes. If it takes 2 hours to get to the place, start out traveling 4 hours before Shabbos. Okay? Give yourself double the amount of time. In the event unforeseen traffic or unforeseen an accident or anything like that, and you're stuck. If you're stuck, there's no one to help you out. You just got to pull it to the side of the road. As long as it's not dangerous to a person's life, to the Jew's life, they have to just stay on the side of the road and or some shelter and stay there for Shabbos. Nothing they can do. They can't drive. You can't be Michal Shabbos, even though you will not enjoy your Shabbos at all, being in some dilapidated Motel 6, or even if it was a nice Motel 6. And obviously, if you have no food, but you have a little food with you, you can buy some pretzels, things like that, that's where you'll have to stay for Shabbos. However, you pull up to this Motel 6, and there's a nice non-Jewish couple, and you explain the situation, you say, which way are you headed? They said, we're headed in this direction anyway. And you say, would you be able to drive my car for me? All I have to do is get another 20 minutes away and I'm by the place where I have to go for Shabbos. And they say, fine. And the Mrs. Guy drives her car and Mr. Guy drives your car. You get in the back seat or in the trunk, wherever you want to go. And Mr. Guy could drive for the next 30 minutes or even 40 minutes in case of need and take you where you have to go. It's a very simple halacha. It's Bein HaShemashos. It's for the 30 or 40 minutes after Shkia, at the sunset, you could have him do malacha for you. And you're just sitting in the car and you could have him drive. Once you get there, he has to open the doors. He has to shut off the ignition, put the keys away. This has happened, unfortunately, several times of stories that I've heard. Usually it's when people are going to a simcha and it's an unfamiliar road, an unfamiliar town. They don't know exactly how much time they should leave themselves. This has happened to numerous people.
I had worse. I had California where I did what I had to do. I mean, Avi was a baby, and I got stuck. It should have been a 1.5 hour drive. I left 5.5 hours in advance. Traffic in California is legendary. We were like 20 minutes from where my parents were living in Southern California, and and we couldn't make it. And I had to sit there and say, do I pull off a side road with no food, no nothing, and a baby? So and my husband already gone down. He was waiting my parents. He was there with food. He was nervous. He didn't know what was going on. We had no cell phones in those days. And I drove right to the house because I had a baby. What could I do? Can't tell a baby for 28 hours you can't eat.
Right, yeah.
So in the case of
Pekuach Nefesh, you can do it yourself.
Would have been an hour and a half trip.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't travel at all on Friday anymore.
Okay. Now, another case. What happens if somebody makes an early Shabbos during the summer months? Someone makes early Shabbos.
It's still Shabbos.
It's still Shabbos for you, right? So, let's say Shabbos begins at 8 o'clock. Sunset is 8 o'clock that particular week. And you bring in Shabbos at 7 o'clock. Right? And then you realize, oh, I forgot to turn on this light, I forgot to shut off the... So, you have at least the whole Bein HaShemashos, right? So you certainly have before Bein HaShemashos.
Oh.
So you have that whole time period which you can have a non-Jew...
18 plus 30?
Well, no. I'm saying you pull in, you put it, bring in Shabbos 7 o'clock.
An hour early.
Right? So until it hits 8 o'clock plus 30 minutes, you're allowed to tell this guy to do. That's right. So in case, let's say, the store which you have to get the drinks from is an hour away, no problem. You can have him go an hour, travel an hour, buy the stuff, even though it's an hour past you started your Shabbos, because it's still before 30 minutes after Shkia. Not a problem. Even if he would get stuck in traffic and he has to have another guy drive him. No, you missed that one. The guy doesn't need another guy.
But you took it Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. You took it in seven.
Exactly.
Why do you have the extra time?
Why do you have the extra time? Because it's not halachically Shabbos. You decided to take on Shabbos for yourself as Shabbos. But since it's not automatically Shabbos for everyone, you can still have the non-Jew do malacha for you. The truth is, in this case, during the early Shabbos period, we know you can even have a Jew do malacha for you. A Jew who is not mekabel Shabbos yet. If Jews do not accept Shabbos, you can ask him, as long as before Shkia, before sunset, you're allowed to have him do a malacha for you. And that's a lot easier even, because it's easy to get a Jew or a non-Jew, someone else is next door who didn't make the early Shabbos, you can have them do it as well. Another interesting case is that the truth is, Bein HaShmashos is every night. And there's every night between sunset and nightfall is Bein HaShmashos. There's always a quasi period. It's a Suffolk period. So just like Friday night into Shabbos is a Suffolk period, Matzai Shabbos from Shkia until nightfall is also a Suffolk period. So Shkia, we said, is 4:30. Let's say on Shabbos day it's 4:29. And Shabbos is out, when do they say Shabbos is out? 5:14, let's say. 45 minutes at 5:14. So really between 4:29 and 5:14 is also Bein HaShmashos. So it's a little bit more severe. You don't have really from 5:29. You have to wait, like we explained before, that you have to wait at least the 13 and a half minutes in this case. But once you've passed, let's say, 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, so it's now about 4:45, and all of a sudden the lights go off in the house, you could have a non-Jew, since it's for the necessity of Shabbos, you could have a non-Jew during Bein HaShmashos do malacha for you. So not only in the beginning, but even in the end. So it's not that same window of 30-40 minutes. Again, you would have to wait.
And what's the logic behind that?
Because since it's a doubtful time, could be Shabbos is over already. Once after sunset, it could be Shabbos is over. It could be it's already nighttime, and it's not Shabbos anymore. So on the Suffolk, we have to keep Shabbos. But since it's only a Suffolk, can I have a non-Jew do malacha? So things that are pertinent to do at that time, if it's pressing, during Bein HaShmashos, you can have a non-Jew do malacha. Okay, but again, it has to be at least 10 or 13 minutes after sunset. And from that time until the end of Shabbos, you can have a non-Jew do malacha.
I just ask you, when you talked about bringing in Shabbos early and asking someone to do, is that just when it's not halakhically Shabbos yet, you ask them to do, let's say, your laundry or something like that, it was left in the washing machine, and nothing's going to get ruined if you wait until might say Shabbos, but it would be better if it were in the dryer, and could they move it for you? Are you allowed to ask for that for a non-Shabbos need?
This is by the early Shabbos case?
I accepted Shabbos at 7, but my laundry is in the washing machine, and it would be better if it were in the dryer. I just forgot to switch it over. Can I ask someone during that 1 hour until 8 o'clock to switch my laundry, even though it's not for Shabbos need?
It's not for Shabbos need, and nothing will be ruined.
Right.
You're saying, let's say it's not necessary for the clothing or anything. Not necessary for clothing, not necessary for the Shabbos. Would you be able to tell?
The ground running might say Shabbos and get your laundry folded and put it away.
Right. In that case, where there's no need for Shabbos before, and I'm thinking halachically speaking, well, let's say the case of finishing the crossword puzzle. Okay? Which we'll assume won't cause tremendous aggravation if you don't have it finished before Shabbos. In that case, if it's before, I don't recall. It may even be mutter. That may be permissible. Because since you accepted Shabbos early, but it's really not Shabbos, it's no different than if it's a... Right, I could tell a Jew to do something for me. So it would be no different than having a non-Jew do it for me. Yeah, that really should be permissible. For not the Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos, they only permitted it when it's the necessity for Shabbos. Okay, we'll finish up here. The final, the second heter of Amir Lach, and the second time where it's permissible to tell a non-Jew, and this is also extremely practical, very relevant, and that is to have a non-Jew do something which will result in a malacha. And that's what we call an halacha psik reisha. For a Jew to do act A, which then act B will come out of that, and act B is a malacha on Shabbos, is prohibited. For example, it is permissible to open up a refrigerator on Shabbos. Correct? Correct.
If the light's on.
If the light is on, so then why is it not permissible to open it up? Not because I'm turning on a light, but because my action of opening up the refrigerator will inevitably cause a malacha to be done. In this case, the light will go on. Am I allowed to wash Netilas Yadayim on Shabbos morning? Or am I allowed to wash for a Shalosh Shudis on Shabbos afternoon? You're allowed to wash Netilas Yadayim? Yes. Now, what if the Shalosh Shudis is taking place in somebody's backyard? And I'm washing my hands. What's happening? I'm washing the grass and I'm watering the grass. Is my intent to water the grass? No. But that's a psik ratio. It's something that it will be an inevitable result of the act that I'm doing, and therefore for a Jew it is usher to do. There's a case on sukkahs. Someone puts on a tarp or shlak, what they call, to put it over their sukkah. It rains down. It's now full of rain. Now the next day the sun comes out. You want to just open up the tarp. The problem is you open it up, it's going all on your grass and watering the grass. Can't open it up. It's Yom Tov. You can't open it up. You're watering the grass. So all of these examples are psik reisha. In other words, this something that you're doing which the act in it of itself is permissible to do, but will result in something that is forbidden to do. Opening up a car door. What's wrong with opening up a car door on Shabbos? So the real problem is the light will go on. Maybe there's a problem with muktzah with the car door. Okay, it could be the problem with muktzah. But let's say it's a case where I need to get something from the car. I left my Shabbos talis in the car. So to open the door, to open that muktzah just to get to my talis would be permissible. The problem is the light will go on, and it's not permissible to have a light turned on because I need my talis. So in all of these examples, opening the car door to get my talis, or opening the refrigerator to get the food. In all of these examples, I cannot do it, but I can tell a non-Jew to do it. So if the non-Jew is going to be doing something which that act in itself is permissible, it will just result in a malacha being done, that I'm allowed to have a non-Jew do. Because really what I'm telling him to do is open the refrigerator.
Tell directly?
I can tell directly, yes.
Even on Shabbos. In the
on Shabbos. That's right. Even on Shabbos, you could have him, you know the light is on the refrigerator, you could have him do that. Now, I think we mentioned this the other week. In this case, let's say you have all the food you need for Shabbos is in the refrigerator. In this case, you could, better to hint, but that he should unscrew the bulb, so you'll be able to then use the refrigerator for the rest of Shabbos. Yeah.
Because it's removing an impediment.
Well, in that case, it's only an Isser Derabbanan, and it's Shvus to Shvus in a case of great need, or in the case of a mitzvah for the food for Shabbos, for the Suddus for Shabbos. So in all the examples, they're too numerous to mention all the case of Sikresha, but you have to see what you're telling the guy to do is it's something that it by itself is okay to do, is just result in something. That's a malacha. In all those cases, just I myself would have to refrain from doing. So, for example, to take the tarp off of the sukkah, I could ask a non-Jew to do it. Because I'm just telling, take off the tarp. Nothing wrong with that. It's just what will result from that is problematic, but that to have a non-Jew do is permissible. So that is another example, another heter of when you're allowed to have a non-Jew do something for you. We once mentioned, we discussed in the past about opening cans or bottles or packages on Shabbos. And we said it's always best to have everything open before Shabbos. In the event one for not do that before Shabbos. So there's a lot of different opinions of what you can open, what you can't open. But as a general rule, you can have a non-Jew open it for you. So old bottle caps and cans and things like that, almost in every case, it will be permissible. Shulchan Aruch writes that you can have a non-Jew do it for you. And that's another case where it's permissible to have a guy do malacha for you on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to hold it here for the halachas of Amir Lachem.